Okay, folks, praise the Lord tonight. Good singing, good testimonies, good prayers. And, of course, thank Ellie for our prayer list. Notice Brother Dennis is still on the prayer list for the whooping cough. He's a good man. We love that guy, and we're praying for him for healing there. The Lord will raise him up from that bad cough he's got. Also, before we sing our final hymn tonight, on the Fox News this afternoon, they were saying this horrific terrorist attack last night in London Bridge. They've arrested 7 women connected to the attack directly. No kidding. And, of course, it's Islamic, radical Islamic terrorists. And 7 of the arrests made today were female. So, folks, this is what we're living in right now. The world is gone crazy. And I don't know how anybody can get through a single day without Jesus Christ. I am so thankful tonight that we've got him, because we need him in these last days. Hey, America, we don't know what persecution is. Some of these third world countries and the Middle East countries, boy, those poor Christians are being bombed, they're being stoned, they're being killed, martyred. Martyrdom has never ceased all through the church age. Martyrdom has always been there. And part of the problem is this religion, this evil religion that was founded by a pedophile, and he wrote a book in which an unholy book which teaches its followers to kill those who do not believe that way. To kill. 37 times it commands them, we're not going to name them, but it commands them to kill the infidel. That's Jews and Christians, of course. And also fellow Arabs. Oh, man, it's crazy. Thank the Lord for the great salvation we enjoy tonight. And thank the Lord that we can be comforted in the house of God. Let's grab our hymnals, folks. And please stand. Please stand tonight and open up to hymn 74. The pollen levels are still high, unfortunately. Hymn 74, we'll sing the first, second, and last. Tis so sweet. Back out. Seated, church. Great singing tonight. Oh, boy. The third stanza we did not sing says, now I've given Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary. At Calvary, we receive the grace of God. the mercy of God, the forgiveness of sins. Oh, what a privilege that is. Well, let's grab our Bibles at this time, folks. Open up to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles. The Lord laid a particular message on my heart tonight, considering all of the turmoil currently going on in the world. Hey, Brother Scott, come right in. That would be chapter number 16 of 1 Chronicles. And considering all of the terrorism, all of the witchcraft, all of the occultism, all of the evil taking place on planet Earth, we need to pray. Oh, how we need to pray, folks. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, the king is praying. Amen. Here in 1 Chronicles 16. Now, tonight, a couple of weeks back, I preached a message on a Sunday evening concerning prayers not according to God's will. Well, tonight I want to preach a message on prayers according to God's will, and I've entitled the sermon, Prayer Enjoined. Prayer Enjoined, that is, commanded. Over and over and over, beloved, in the Bible, you and I are commanded to seek our Heavenly Father in prayer. You and I are enjoined by the Holy Spirit through His Word to get on our knees, to lay our trials and struggles before the Lord, and to pray before His throne. It is a given that every true believer will pray. Some pray more than others. Some pray less. But we all pray. And that the reason for that is because we're commanded to. Amen? It's not an option for a believer. Now, prayer enjoined. As we turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I want to give you tonight, I won't be long, but I want to give you seven times in the Bible where I see prayer enjoined to the believer, prayer commanded to the believer. The first one is prayer is enjoined by the king, representing the political leader of a nation. Did you know that our leader, our president, is supposed to tell us to pray to the Lord God of Israel? That's right. Oh, people are going to be, I can hear the emails now and the letters coming now. That's right. Our president in America is supposed to tell us to pray to the God of Israel. Why? Because he's the true and living God. His name is Jesus Christ. Now listen, here in 1 Chronicles 16, without further ado, look with me at verse 7. Notice what Solomon says. Then on that day, on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Who was David? Oh, that's right. He was the king of Israel. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds amongst the people. Sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. David, by the Holy Spirit of God, is commanding the people to seek the Lord in prayer. Look at that in verse number 8. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds. Oh yes, folks, indeed it's true. Our leader, our political leader, is supposed to command the people of our nation to pray to the living God. That's true. But you know what? Couldn't you imagine the entire Muslim world, all of these other false faiths, these false religions, the outrage if the American president told its citizens to pray to the God of Israel. Could you imagine that? But he's supposed to, according to this passage. Our political leaders are supposed to encourage prayer in our nation. Look, drop down with me to verse 34 if you're still there. 34. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endured forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. Listen now. Here, in verse 35, the king, still David speaking, tells us what to say in our prayers. Look at verse 35. Say ye, save us, O nuclear arsenal. No. Save us, O tanks and military weapons. Nope. Save us, O Lord our God. O God of our salvation. Listen, folks. We're still standing tonight as a nation because of our God. Period. Now, I know that most Americans don't know that, but you know that, and I know that. Verse 36. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, amen, and praise the Lord. I love that verse. It says, all the people. You know, it's going to be beautiful in heaven because all the people will praise the Lord and say amen. In heaven, it's going to be like no place you've ever seen. Everybody believes the same. Everybody loves Jesus Christ supremely. We're heading there, folks. Hold on. In the meantime, we need to pray. The King tells us so. Secondly, tonight, prayer is enjoined or commanded by the Lord himself. Go to the New Testament book of Matthew. Oh, yes. We're supposed to pray, and the Lord Jesus told us so. Now, I know this is a Sermon on the Mount. I know where we're at dispensationally here. But there is sure, certain spiritual application for you and me. Look with me here in Matthew 7 and verse 7. Jesus says, ask. Now, how can we ask something from God? In what? Prayer. Yeah. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receive it. Oh, this is so good. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. What man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Wow! I love it because Jesus Christ, words in red, instructs his disciples to pray to your Father in heaven and he will grant your request as long as it's according to his will. Jesus tells us to ask and it shall be given. Wow! What a powerful passage on prayer that is. I mean, he literally gives us the words to speak. Ask your Father. Knock on that petition. And seek the answer to that prayer. And you'll find it. Jesus says so in his name. Guaranteed. Thirdly, tonight, prayer is enjoined in order to overcome temptation. Still in the book of Matthew, turn to chapter 26. Here's something we all need to pray for daily. Why, Pastor? Because we're all tempted. You know what I said? We're all tempted to sin. And we need to pray and ask the Lord to guard our hearts against sin. Which begins in the mind, by the way. Devil is a mind manipulator. Look with me here in Matthew 26, verse number 40. Jesus is in the garden, right? And what's he doing in the garden, somebody? Praying! He's praying. Yes, indeed, he's praying. Watch what it says. And he, Jesus, cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. Oh, man, we could camp right there. Because I tell you, the majority of the churches, Jesus Christ today, is sleeping spiritually. They're not awake. They're not sober. They're not alert at what the time it is. Folks, it's time for the Lord to come. And we need to wake up and get ready. He findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Notice how Jesus Christ puts his finger right on the problem of the believer, the flesh. It's the flesh that wants to rebel against God's will. It's the flesh that wants to do its own thing. And Jesus says, you need to pray against the flesh. The flesh and the spirit are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. It's pretty hard, beloved, to fall into sin when you're on your knees. Amen? That'll preach. It's pretty hard to sin when you're praying. That's why Jesus says, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Fourthly, tonight, prayer is enjoined to keep us from quitting on God. Go with me to Luke's Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and go to chapter 18. Prayer will help keep you from... Hey, folks, we got some empty pews tonight. We're missing some people. You know, what happened? Well, look here in Luke chapter 18. Perhaps they fainted spiritually. It's happening all over the world. In Luke 18, look with me in verse 1. And he, Jesus, spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Did you know that you can pass out spiritually? That's right. You can faint, not physically, you can do that too, but you can faint spiritually. What happens when you faint, somebody? What happens when you faint? That's right. You're unconscious. Can you hear somebody? No. Can you say or do anything? No. Why? Because you fainted. You're unconscious. And Jesus says you can become spiritually unconscious if you're not careful. And he says the way not to be faint spiritually is to pray. I love that. Drop down to verse 8. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You know what he's asking there? What's the context of this passage? The poor widow going to the judge at night. Praying, prayer. The whole context is prayer. And he says in verse 8, when I come back, shall I find anybody praying? Anybody with faith that prays? There's far too many believers quitting on God tonight, folks. And I need you to stay faithful. The Lord needs you. Fifthly, tonight, prayer is enjoined or commanded to be made in Jesus' name. Here's an important one. Go with me to John's Gospel. Flip over from Luke to John chapter 16. You know why people don't get their prayers answered? In Hinduism, in Hare Krishnaism, in Buddhism, in all these ism religions that are false? Because they don't pray in Jesus Christ's name. When you pray, listen to me. If you want to have your prayer answered, you got to pray to the right God, the true and living God. Any other God cannot help you. In John chapter 16, I love this. In John 16, look with me at verse 23 and notice the words in red. What's that mean? Jesus Christ is speaking on earth. 23. And in that day, Jesus is talking to his disciples, his followers, his believers. Ye shall ask me nothing. Who are we supposed to pray to? The Father, right? Now watch. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. A lot of people think they can bypass half of that sentence. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. He's educating them. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day, ye shall ask in my name. This is post-resurrection he's talking. And I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I love it. Jesus says, there's coming a day when I rise from the dead that you're going to pray to our Heavenly Father, yours and mine, in my name. And he's going to answer it because you've loved me and you pray in my name. No, there is none other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we might be saved except Jesus Christ. You ever notice people that swear, they cuss a lot? It's funny, they never say, oh, Buddha. No, they never say, oh, Muhammad. Oh, Allah! No, they use Jesus Christ's name in vain. That's blasphemy. Why? Because something inside of every one of us knows who the true and living God is. His name is Jesus Christ. The power of prayer is found only by praying in Jesus Christ's name. Period. Sixthly, tonight, prayer is enjoined in the power of the Holy Spirit. This is important. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Because if you pray, you need to pray not in the flesh. Your prayer won't get answered. But you need to pray in the Spirit. Capital S. Now, you know what the difference between your spirit and the Holy Spirit is? Capitalization in the Bible. Capitalization, capital S, means the Holy Spirit. Always. Always, always. It never means the spirit of man. Never. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at the last item named in the whole armor of God for the believer. Guess what? Prayer. Prayer. Look at it. Verse 17. Let's see it. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the sixth. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, Paul says, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He says, you pray for me that I'll preach the gospel with power. Amen? Oh, I love that. This is praying filled with the Holy Spirit. This is praying led by the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 makes it clear. Praying with all prayer and supplication. Someone said, what's the difference between prayer and supplication? John R. Rice put it best. He said, prayer is asking. Supplication is begging. Supplication is serious prayer. Supplication, when you really need God to heal your child or some serious prayer request, that's supplication. You beg God in Jesus' name. This is praying filled with the Holy Spirit and being led by the Holy Spirit. But finally tonight, seventh, prayer is enjoined or commanded all of the time. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You say, Pastor, you've convinced me. Now, how often should I pray? Oh, that's without ceasing. What? I was afraid you might say something like that. Yes, all the time. What is prayer, somebody, before we read this? What is prayer?
Talking to God.
Talking to God. That's what prayer is. Communicating with God, making your needs known unto Him. Fellowshipping with Him, supping with Him, communing with Him. Let me ask you a question. Do you have to open your mouth to do that? Nope. Everybody's hands up. Nope, Pastor, you don't. You can commune with God in your heart. He hears our thoughts. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I ride down the street, I'm Ubering, and between rides, I'm talking to God. I'm praying. Why? Because I'm commanded to. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 15, see that none render evil. I'm sorry. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. In other words, don't avenge yourselves. But ever follow that which is good, both amongst yourselves, Christians, and to all men lost. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Everything? Everything. Quench not the spirit. Notice here, the little verse 19, couched in between these verses of commendation for you and I. Exhortation, I should say. He's saying, rejoice always. Pray always. Give thanks always. Quench not the spirit. Quench not the spirit. Now put it together. It's not rocket science. If you're not praying, if you're not rejoicing, if you're not giving thanks, guess what? You're going to be quenching the Holy Spirit. You'll be quenching the Holy Spirit and you lose your joy. One thing I don't want to lose is the joy of the Lord, because Nehemiah said it best, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I don't know about you, but I need strength. You need strength?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I got one amen on that. Yeah. Because we need the strength of God. There's not a single day we can get through without Him. The child of God must be in constant communion with his or her heavenly Father in order to get through the day. Now, in closing, let me give you this and I'll be done. Prayer is enjoined all... Folks, I've just scratched the surface tonight. We could go on and on for months on prayer enjoined in the Bible. But let me give you this. This poem reveals my heart for you all. I said a prayer for you today, and know God must have heard. I felt the answer in my heart, although He spoke not a word. I didn't ask for wealth or fame. I knew you wouldn't mind. I asked for priceless treasure rare of a more long-lasting kind. I prayed that He'd be near to you at the start of each new day, to grant you health and blessing fair, and friends to share your way. I asked for happiness for you in all things great and small, but that you'd know His loving care I prayed for most of all. That you would know His loving care I pray for most of all. Father in heaven, I thank you for these precious few, these faithful ones that love you and come to this Bible-believing church because they love Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, that you, they know your loving care. You've answered that prayer of mine for them. They each individually know that you love them and you care for them. And you are taking care of their every need in life. Father, I thank you. That takes a huge load off of our shoulders. We don't have to sweat it. We know that our Heavenly Father has it all under His thumb. We know that our glorious Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, has all our foes under His feet. And we know that the Holy Spirit of God, which indwells us, has us being led and controlled by His presence divine. Oh, Lord, we're so thankful tonight for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, you shouldn't have to command it. You shouldn't have to enjoin it to the believer. It should be a natural response to the great salvation that you've provided. It should be a natural result of knowing Jesus Christ that we'd want to seek your face and that continually. Help us, Lord, to be better prayer warriors because the times are evil. The days are growing darker and darker before our eyes, Lord. We know that the rapture of the church is coming very, very soon. Because, Lord, if you don't come soon, everybody will be dead. The terrorists are running crazy in the streets. They're blowing up people. They're shooting and stabbing people, killing people. And Lord, we pray. Here's our prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Put an end to all this evil and rapture us to heaven. Lord, I thank you that the verse goes on to say, so shall we ever be with the Lord. We love you tonight and we thank you for the privilege of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, let's grab our hymnals at this time for a closing hymn tonight. Oh, yeah. It's going to be 174. An appropriate one indeed to finish up with today. Great service this morning. We preached on the message, But We See Jesus. But We See Jesus. You get down the website, brother. On what, hymn 174, we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth. First, second, and fourth. Yeah!
There is something I love to hear, I love to sing His word. It sounds like music in my name, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of His precious blood, the sin is perfectly. Oh yeah. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me.
Listen.
It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in each sorrow bears a part that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus.
He loves us, church, and that's all we need to know. That's good enough for me. Oh, Brother Scott, so good to see you tonight. I'm going to have you dismiss us in prayer. And don't forget to be praying over the prayer list this week, church. We got some new needs you'll notice on there. And we're so thankful, speaking of prayer, for the power of prayer. Amen. We're so thankful for it. Brother, dismiss us.
Lord God, I'd like to bring up Proverbs. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. How much this nation parallels Israel, Lord God. And so lucky to be in this church that understands that. And Lord God, let us do what we can. You know, we can't change the whole nation, but let's try to change the people around us and be salt and light.
Mm-hmm.
I ask this in Jesus' name. I'd also like to say a prayer for my mother. She's sick and she requested prayer. She asked me to ask you to pray for her because she's not feeling very well for a long time. And she's 70, Jerry. And it's like to lift her up in prayer, Lord God, that you make her better, you make her well. So she was the way she was before. She's not sick as she is. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Oh, amen. Amen.